Welcome to Vistage Live, the place you can come to for insights, knowledge and perspectives from a range of experts who can help your small and mid-sized business make a great big impact. Today, I'm here with John Gutteridge, a seasoned business leader and brand strategist with decades of experience shaping some of the world's most recognized brands, including serving as the CEO for Asia Pacific for JWT and Mirum. With a deep background across marketing, digital transformation, and customer experience, John has helped organizations navigate major shifts in how brands connect, compete, and grow. Today, his focus has expanded into the rapidly evolving world of AI, where he explores how emerging technologies are reshaping brand strategy and decision-making. Through his work with Sophia, John partners with leaders to demystify AI and turn it into practical, high-impact tools for innovation growth and competitive advantage. John Gutteridge, welcome to Vistage Live.
Thanks, Stephanie.
It's quite the bio. So let's talk about your career, from big business to mid-size and small business. So how did you get here? Because you didn't start in Asia Pacific.
So, no, I didn't. So originally from London, actually started in small business. I worked for a couple of small businesses before I joined J. Walter Thompson, JWT. That was a huge shift in itself. So coming from a small business where you have multiple roles and responsibilities and you're doing lots of different things, going into a big global international business, you suddenly have a lot of people doing a lot of the jobs that you used to do. So that was a huge shift in itself. JWT was the oldest advertising agency in the world. 1864 it was launched, and as a consequence, pioneered so much of what we see even today within the industry. The first female creative director, the first international network, and the list goes on. So it was a phenomenal experience. I was with JWT for quite a few years, and JWT was owned by WPP, which is the largest, or was the largest, communications business worldwide as well. So I was in London with JWT for a few years, and then my wife and I decided we wanted to move over to this side of the world. Initially, if I'm honest, it was for 3 years was the plan. So we took the risk of coming over here. I was in a job that I enjoyed very much in London, but we wanted a sea change. And so we came over to Australia, to Melbourne, to begin with. And I think I was given my first lucky break, having sort of landed here after 14 months, was asked if I would go and run the New Zealand operation. Now, I was still quite young, and I was 29 years of age, and I thought this was a huge opportunity, having gone over there and looked at the business, which was a very small business. There were probably, I'd say, 8 or 9 people actually in Auckland at the time, looking after a lot of global brands. So adapting ideas and work to suit the local market, but not necessarily creating, new work and ideas from scratch. And it was a wonderful experience. So I have to say, I learned so much during that time, and I was there for 3 years. I had a wonderful group of people who I empowered to sort of build the business up as we did. We tripled the business in 2 years. And many thanks goes to the people that I had in the business. But we had a very clear vision. We had a plan, and everyone knew what their role was within that. And we had a lot of fun.
So let me go back to that, actually. Yeah. Well, first of all, something about New Zealand, particularly in those days, was that early adopter. It's such an interesting market and different from Australia in many ways.
Very different,
That first into things.
So entrepreneurial.
So entrepreneurial.
I love the Kiwis for that reason. I think New Zealand's interesting. I think a lot of global brands and businesses are happy to take risks and try new things in New Zealand because they think that it's if there's any problems or any issues, then it doesn't get picked up all over the world.
Well, the other thing is, we used to always say, when I was in an international business before, another one, and we'd always say to them in the UK, why isn't anyone seeing if the system worked in New Zealand when you woke up?
Because if it's working in New Zealand, or if it's broken in New Zealand, it's got to be broken everywhere else because they're the first ones using
it. That's right.
So what about you, John, that shift then from small business where you're saying you're doing all sorts of things and as a leader, you know, it's a badge of honour that you can do everything. How did you as a leader make that shift then when you moved even to the next step in JWT of APAC? How did you make that shift to letting go? We have had an incredible mentor in Vistage, Barry Upfold, and he used to say, you bought a dog and you're doing the barking yourself. How did you make that shift?
Well, it's interesting. There are two shifts really that I made in the career. The first was moving from a small business to a very large business and having all the resource and support and help and specialty of capability within that business. And then, as you say, I was in New Zealand within a small business, then moved back to Australia to a larger business where it was obviously Sydney and Melbourne. And then Asia Pacific was monumental. Yeah. So you know, I had upward of 3,000 people that were ultimately that were reporting to me. And I think it's really about understanding the direction of where we're going and making sure that you empower the right people to help you achieve that vision and those goals. And I had a lot of fantastic people within the business, not necessarily initially, you know, there needed to be some changes.
And how did you identify where changes needed to be made?
I think the most important thing, I think in my career, I'd say I've always been fair in terms of giving people an opportunity to perform and.
So I've heard you say a couple of times, having the right strategy.
Yeah.
Everyone clear on where you're going. Mm. Having the right people and moving on the people who aren't right. Mm. Decision making. You could be talking about a business of any size.
Yeah.
Because what you're talking about, that's the same set of skills that you need in a mid-sized small business leader.
Yeah. It's very interesting. I think large organizations, global organizations, have a lot of complexity.
Yes.
I think small businesses have a lot of consequence.
Oh, right. That's really interesting.
So
large businesses have a lot of complexity and small businesses have a lot of consequence.
In the decision-making especially.
Of course.
You know, the budgets aren't there necessarily in small businesses. So every decision that you make is very important and can be very costly if you make the wrong decision.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, what we're going through right now, as we all know, is profound change within business. And AI obviously is doing most of the disruption. I think you go back to the internet and when that was launched, actually what that did was helped with distribution and opened up new revenues. You think about e-commerce businesses and everything else. So I think the internet in many ways created a lot of opportunity. I think AI will certainly create opportunity, but I think it's also going to create a lot of disruption. And I think for the businesses that don't adopt it quickly and understand it, there is a risk. You know, I think what we're going to see with small businesses, we're going to see a bit of a divide start to emerge. You'll have your AI native small businesses and then you'll have your traditional small businesses. And the AI native businesses, I think, will scale a lot faster. They will automate themselves to a certain degree. They'll be faster, whereas the traditional businesses will probably be slower, more manual, and struggle to keep up.
So we've been hearing this. Perhaps warning, prediction, sort of looking to the future and trend now for maybe 2 years about businesses that don't pick up AI. What will really mark the difference though? What does that really look like day to day of a small business embracing and using AI in a way that's going to give them a real competitive advantage?
So I think that raises a really interesting point, which is how do you and where do you implement AI in your business? So there's areas within a business where repeatable tasks, you know, invoicing, all those sorts of things that don't require necessarily original thinking or human interface, if you like, that's certainly where you can start to implement AI. I think where humans are going to play a really critical role is still when it's at the sort of the coldface with the customer.
Yeah.
It's about creating originality of thought. Mm. So if I think about marketing as a point of view, which is obviously sort of my background, 18% of small businesses right now think they're doing a good job with their marketing. Only 18%, which is a frightening statistic. 80% are actually putting a proper plan in place when it comes to their marketing. Mm. So these are sort of frightening statistics. And especially when you think about the fact that AI is now, to a large degree, it's leveling the playing field with content creation and a lot of marketing. And but it's also flooding the playing field, because what we're going to see is a lot of small businesses creating a lot of content, but without a strategy or a plan behind it. Yeah. Which actually will just be a waste of money. It'll be just literally not achieving anything. So I think where the small businesses that will succeed, where they'll come from, is they'll literally have a strategic plan behind their marketing and all of their activity, and they'll be consistent with how they execute that, and they'll turn up in the world in the same way time and time again, which ultimately is the sort of the principles behind good marketing.
Mm. Let me try and unpack that a bit. So what you're saying is it's still having the strategy.
Strategy.
It's having the plan.
Yeah.
Because we are seeing that, and we see it as consumers and anyone who's on LinkedIn, the flood of content.
Yeah.
But there's something still fundamental, and I'd like to get to Sophia in a minute as the next step. But there's still something fundamental about small business and AI. We're seeing the divide, you're right, about people who are embracing it or not. But there's still some things there that people are unsure, still saying things like, oh, well, you know, it hallucinates. And still talking about even something from 6 months ago is redundant now, that kind of thinking. How can we support small businesses through such a fundamental shift in the way of work or the way of running a business?
So, you're right about hallucinations, although I think they're getting better.
Well, that's right.
If I think about the journey we've been on with Sophia and when we started to implement a lot of content and tools, where it was then versus where it is sort of a year, 2 years later, it's phenomenal how quickly these models are progressing and becoming more and more sophisticated. I think the way to also think about AI is it's not necessarily going to give you 100% of the answers, and it's not necessarily going to be 100% right, but it's certainly going to help you overcome writer's block, if you like, for want of a better description, to fast track that process, give you access to research and statistics and insights and understanding, which is where it's phenomenal, that you otherwise wouldn't have been able to access. So I think for small businesses, they really are getting access to information, skills, capabilities that they otherwise probably would have struggled to afford.
There's a democratization, isn't there, of knowledge.
Yeah.
And also of theory and knowledge, but implementation of strategy as well.
Yeah. So, in the marketing world, it's interesting because 95% of our purchase decisions are made in the subconscious part of the brain. Mm. So the conscious part of the brain just essentially affirms that was the right decision. But where I think a lot of the AI tools that we're seeing in the market being used and not being used by small businesses and larger businesses is they're not necessarily providing the strategic rigor and the understanding and the thinking that goes behind the content. And so to the point about the subconscious part of the brain, understanding your audience's emotions, their mindsets, how they feel, how they think, is absolutely critical when it comes to creating the right content. A lot of the work that we've done with Sophia is really training Sophia to understand the sort of the values, the attitudes that that the audience has. You know, what are the sort of the functional as well as the emotional benefits that the product offers your customers? All these things influence the type of content that Sophia will essentially help the user create.
So tell us about Sophia.
Yeah. Well, it's a platform that we started training and building in 2023.
Mm-hmm.
This small thing called ChatGPT
about
was launched in November 22. And I thought, wow, this is disruptive. This is going to be hugely disruptive to our industry. But I think overwhelmingly, I felt excited about giving small businesses access to very sophisticated global thinking that obviously I'd come from in the likes of JWT. And so that would have been advice and knowledge and capability that they would never have been able to afford in the past. What we've essentially done is trained an AI to think like a creative strategist at JWT, if you like, if for want of a better description. And so you have your user, then you have Sophia, and then all the many models that we use. So we're aggregating some of the world's most sophisticated and fastest models, that are out there in the market, predominantly from the US and China.
And these models are for marketing strategy?
They're for content creation.
Oh, right, okay.
Predominantly. But so content creation in the form of text, blogs, images, videos, and so on and so forth. But Sophia will be trained on your specific brand, your product, your audience, even the brand archetype, which I won't go into detail on, but we've really trained Sophia to sort of think in a way that informs the way the prompts are sent to the various models to ensure that you get consistent on-brand content created. There are tools within it as well, which also just help you brainstorm and create all sorts of ideas for marketing, but not just marketing, actually, just in terms of sort of insights and data and information on your competitors and so on and so forth. So
that's really interesting. So this is me learning about it for the first time, by the way. This not a sales pitch because I'm learning about it and I'm interested. So it would be like a subscription.
It is. It's a SaaS platform.
Yeah.
So subscription model. Based on tokens. So you basically pay a subscription and you get a bunch of tokens, and depending on how heavy or light a user you are, you use more and more tokens, and then it renews or you upgrade the
and stack. So Sophia would integrate with other platforms that an organization's using?
So the models. So we're using the and we're constantly changing and updating the models that Sophia is using. So all the models that you'd be familiar with, the Mid Journeys, the Nano Bananas, the ChatGPT, the Geminis, and all of these models are within Sophia. And they are constantly improving. Yeah. And there's a big model fight that's going on out there where they're upgrading their models all the time. We see it as our responsibility to make sure that we're aggregating the best models and bringing them to our users and essentially using the right models for the right purpose.
So really interesting. How is it for you then building this AI-driven business with in the back of your mind, this is going to be disrupted. This is disruptive now. How long will it be before this is mainstream and something else?
It is disruptive. And it has, without doubt, disrupted the industry. I think, you know, big businesses are implementing AI now internally and using it to varying degrees. Agencies are definitely using different models of AI, which is helping, I think, their efficiency and fast-tracking their ability to research and access insights and knowledge, but also potentially even in the form of brainstorming with ideas. For small businesses, and small businesses tend to be slightly slower to adopt some of these new tools and these new platforms. I think what we'll see is, and we are seeing, a proliferation of content that's coming into the market, which is coming from big brands, but also small brands. I think what we're going to see, hopefully, is more and more of the small businesses being quite strategic with the content they create. And I think they will be able to differentiate themselves from their competitors and larger brands by being creative. And when I say being creative, it's still really important when it comes to originality of creative thought to be very much in touch with human nuance, emotion, empathy. All these things are incredibly important, which AI can't necessarily do. So
it's getting quite good empathy though.
It's
a bit obvious, but that must be very tough for you. What a great question.
I
thank you. It's really interesting, which I'm thinking about the first time we met on a Teams call, and you said to me, I just love small business.
Yeah.
And we're thrilled that John is one of our newest chairs here at Vistage. So tell me about that. Tell me about becoming a chair and what you think that means for you with working with small business owners and CEOs.
I'm really, it's a very different experience to the past experiences that I've had. And I'm very excited to be able to share some of my experience and knowledge and perspectives that I've had from a career to help those businesses in any which way I can. I think the idea of having a dynamic and a collective group of individuals in a room to support one another and help one another as they navigate a very complex world with lots of really important critical decisions that they need to make. I find that incredibly powerful and exciting to sort of be part of that.
Mm.
So, you know, this is less about sort of building one business and more about trying to support, you know, 14 or 18
the
businesses
collective.
Grow.
Yeah.
Exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is really exciting.
What have you learned? What have you learned about Vistage in the, boy, it's only been 2 months really, hasn't it? A bit less. What have you learned so far?
Well, I've learned there's a lot of interest in Vistage in terms of being part of these groups. And I think so many small business, and look, you know, I'm in that startup phase myself, it's a very lonely place to be. You don't have hundreds of people to bounce ideas off and talk to. So I think time and time again, I hear business owners, small business owners specifically, really appreciating different perspectives and challenging them on sometimes their strategy and their thinking, not in an aggressive way, but in a way that's really, you know, productive and conducive. But I think the minute you talk about the structure of a group to a small business owner, they immediately see value in being part of that environment.
Yeah.
It's been really,
and it's not for everyone.
It's not. No, my view is that the groups need to be made up of, you know, very capable people.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, from my perspective, you know, we don't want spectators.
No.
You know, we want people that are going to sit in the room and actually contribute to a conversation. And I don't mean that in an overly aggressive way at all, but just literally, I think we want everybody in the room to participate, have an opinion, talk about their own personal perspectives, which are neither right or wrong. And hopefully everybody in the room can learn from them. So, yeah, it's...
Including you along the way.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. There's still lots to learn.
We're so excited to have you on board. I know that you're going to bring so much to our community and obviously to your members. And thank you for sharing a really interesting story and an important story about disruption as well. John Guttridge, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Stephanie.
So that's it for Vistage Live today. Thank you for joining us. Make sure you subscribe so you can listen to us each episode. And for more information about Vistage, check us out on vistage.com.au.